So as you are opening your Bibles, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I'll go ahead and read aloud. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Is it not God's word that is living and powerful? Is it not God's word that is able to pierce between bone and marrow, soul and spirit? Knows the thoughts and knows the intentions of the heart. So, let's ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Let's ask Him to speak to us. Lord God, we come to You as Your children. We have gathered here because we want more of You. We've come together because it is a joy to come and fellowship, to see each other and to enjoy each other and to enjoy the goodness that You're doing in our lives. So thank You. Please go before us, and I ask that Your Spirit would speak to the hearts, that Your word would become alive. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to use another quote from somebody else because they say it better than I could have said it. So there's no reason for me to try to say something that was already said. If you haven't seen a TV series, there's a TV series. It's edifying. It's good. It's called Sue Thomas, FBI. She's an individual who's alive today. She was born deaf. Actually, she wasn't born deaf at 3 years old. Literally, somebody turned the switch off, she went deaf, could hear nothing. But I like what she says. She takes it from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to bring the good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. The cup of those who mourn, to bring the oil of gladness and the mantle of praise, that wherever I may be, any given second of my life, the Lord God may be planted, and in that planting, only He and He alone shall be glorified. I come to you not as a preacher, not as a pastor. I come to you not as a teacher either. But if there is one title that I have carried the majority of my life, it is that of a witness. I can only stand before you as your brother in Christ. And I can honestly say with joy in my heart that I'm looking out Oh, I'm home. I'm with my family. You are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I just want to share, as your brother in the Lord, the things that God has done in my life. And I think others can attest that they've been able to witness the good, the bad, the ugly, the redemptive, the work of God. If you would, turn to Matthew 23. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. I'll read. Matthew 23, verses 8 through 11. Jesus says, "But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant." I have witnessed the Lord allow me to go through certain seasons of my life only to bring me back to the beginning, where I simply humble myself and just serve. But I had to go through a season, I think, like Mary and Martha. I think most of us remember that story. You had Mary, Martha, Jesus came over, and who was busy? Who was busy? Busy about working? Martha. Okay. She was doing, she was going. And who was found sitting at Jesus' feet? Mary. Cool. But if you look in John and you look a few chapters after that account, you will notice that after Lazarus had raised from the dead, we see again them gathered together. And do you know what Martha's doing? Serving. She's still doing the same thing. But I think she's doing it with a different heart. I have learned from this body of fellowship. I have learned from living examples before me. People who, they're like, what Luke says in chapter 19, I think verse 9 or 7. He says, you know, when your servants are out in the field and you, the master, come home and then they prepare and make you something, do you tell them thank you? Do you tell them thank you? No, they're servants. They're servants. There are many here in this room. They don't want to be thanked. They just want to serve. Because you see, Christ has served them. Christ met them at their lowest point, and he bound up their wounds. He cleaned up their feet. He dusted them off, and he said, "Come on, let's go." I saw that. I saw that for years, and I begin to realize it's not a joke. There are people who are honest. They are sincere about wanting to be godly. They are sincere about wanting to be holy. No, they're not perfect. oh, but they are maturing right before my eyes and they haven't changed and they still serve. That has been one of the greatest examples to me. It's important for me, the makeup of who I am. I try hard to say what I mean and mean what I say. Boy, oh boy, have I made some blunders. I'll give you some real quick examples. In my head, in my thinking, as I searched these things out, I was settled. Small example. In my mind, it doesn't make sense to say, let's invite somebody to church. Why? Because God says, you are the body of Christ. See, we don't come to church to know Christ. No, we come to Christ, and as a result of being found in Christ, guess what? We are now a part of his body. And who is his body? The church. So, would you like to come to Calvary Chapel? And if they meet Jesus, guess what? They're a part of the church, his body. It makes sense. I don't make a big thing about it, but it makes sense. I'm able to express myself that way. I know that God, 40 years ago, wanted to do a work here in the valley. He wanted to do a specific work, and right now we're in the middle of what he started so many years ago and entrusted to someone who would be faithful to him, Pastor Pete. When I drive onto these grounds, I'm driving on ground that has been sanctified. It has been set apart for the Lord. This is not just some ground, some plot. No, this is his territory. It's his. And I see this as his house, where he comes and he gathers his children. There are so many things, so many ways in which, as the body of Christ, if we would just yield ourselves, we have a place that I believe our kids would want to come and be a part of and be on premises simply because of the things that are happening. One of those things I get to be a part of, the school. What a blessing. First and foremost, it has been probably a more blessing to me because that curriculum is not a joke. It has one goal and one goal in mind. To raise up someone to have success in their life because they are following the plan that God has set out for them. And they don't want for it to just be principles and things that are just locked in as a memory verse. No, they want it to be a lifestyle. And I have seen how the school, the curriculum, the people that work, or the people that volunteer and are part of the school, I have seen how it has now become a lifestyle to me. I think there are some of you out there who have hearts. I would love to invest into this next generation of kids that are coming up and just serve and give. I'll tell you what, you have a heart to invest and pour into kids and watch God raise them up. May I invite you? Come talk to me. Come talk to Patty Martin. Come see us in the office. There's a wonderful work that's taking place at the school. I'll do it once just to get it over. I tooted my own horn. There we go. Now, this is what I'm talking about. God says, let your works be done before all men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. When I come on to this property, I now get to be involved in doing different things around this place. I like it. But there's a reality. This is a pretty big property. There's a lot of things to do. If we, the body of Christ, got together and started investing into what God has provided for us, I wonder how this place would blossom and bloom. Pete asked if I, now I understand. Pete asked me to prepare something, a study, about an attribute. I'm not sure exactly what you would call it. I'll make it known right now. And I think it was the Lord speaking through him, because this study, this thing that we're going to look at, it's not a thing, but I don't know how else to put it right now. You see, it had to be something that God had to do in my heart. It was a place that God had to bring me low to. So, would you please turn to Revelation 19? Revelation 19. And let's read verses 6 through 10. And I heard as it were. The voice of a great multitude. And as the sound of many waters. And as the sound of mighty peals of thunder saying. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If I was to read through that again, I would tear, and tears would just roll down my face. I can't wait. I can't wait to see his face, to look upon the one I have loved so long, to hear him say, enter in, my son. What a beautiful thing. The day's coming. I don't know when. But the bride is making herself ready. And whenever the Father gives the command, oh, he's going to sound his trumpet. God, can't wait. That's a good thing, right? Now, what happened after that? And I fell at his... wouldn't you? You hear all these things, and all of a sudden, the marriage of the Lamb is here. The bride has made herself ready. And you just fall. But he... Stop. He said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because the one talking to him, he was just a fellow servant and brethren who what? Hold the testimony of Jesus. How many of us hold the testimony of Jesus? Yes. But what was his next word after that? Worship who? God. And you see, I think that is needed. It's needed for us to come to a place where we worship God. But that's a interesting topic. Worship God. I have a question for you about worshiping God. Let's see if I can get an answer. When John was receiving and seeing all these things, the things that we just read about, let me ask you, where was he besides heaven? That's not an answer. Where was he? Anybody else? Anybody else? Island of Patmos. Final answer. Okay. Let's turn to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Revelation 1, verses 9 and 10. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance, which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos. Partially right. Because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, I was what? Oh, wait, stop. What was that? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. Yes, physically, John was on the island of Patmos. But he was what? I think we're on a good track here, because I have another question for you. Let's keep that in mind. The question I have for you is, do you know what 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 reads? Well, I would like for us, you don't need to turn there, because what's going to happen is it's going to come up on the screen, but I would like for us together to see if the Lord would cause us to be of one accord and in one voice, in unison, read this next passage out loud together. Now, in order for that to happen, we're going to have to be on the same tempo. So I'm going to set the tempo, and we're going to read together out loud in one voice. Ready? Begin. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. That was good. And that was the first time. Let's do it again. I'm just kidding. Question. Do you understand what's being conveyed there? The eyes of the Lord are moving throughout the whole earth. He's looking. He is looking. He is looking. His eyes are moving. What is he looking for? He's looking to show himself strong. He's looking to strongly support. He's looking to come alongside someone whose heart belongs to him completely, whose heart's loyal to him. You know what the foolish thing was? They didn't do it. They didn't have a heart ready. They didn't have a heart prepared. Maybe, just maybe, one of the reasons why there might be some conflict and some situations or areas in your life, maybe it's because the Lord's allowing those things to happen because he wants to secure your heart until you finally just give up and stop. If the eyes of the Lord are moving, do you think it's safe to say he's looking? You think it's safe to say that his eyes are looking? Okay. Then, if one is looking, could it be said that they're seeking something? I'm in the process of cleaning up my mom's house, and there are some documents I lost, so guess what? I started looking. And I had to look in between every single piece of paper that was across until finally I found it. Looking. Did you know that our Heavenly Father is seeking something? Do you know what our Heavenly Father is seeking? Anybody have an answer? Huh? Let's turn to John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, there it is again, and truth. You ready for this? For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for those who are going to worship him. Do you remember where John was when he received revelation? In the Spirit, right? Okay. Can we Can we now go back and let's read John 4:23 again? And then I want us to read verse 24 as well. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is what? And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's a lot to take in. But Jesus did say, it is necessary that I go, that I may send the promised one, the helper, the Holy Spirit to you, that he may teach you all things, bring to remembrance . Could you go ahead and put up those last slides, Andy? God is spirit. What does that mean? Is there an answer that would bring understanding? The answer is yes. But that's for another time. Because in simplicity and in truth, it can start right now. You see, the Spirit of God is the one who brings conviction. So I don't need to say anything. I can trust right now that the Spirit of God is at work in every single person that I'm looking at that is sitting in this room and that's hearing via internet or whatever. I can trust that God is beginning to convict. He's convicting of things that are standing in the way of you being able to worship him. You have not because you ask not. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. All we have to do is come to him and say, Lord God, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm scared to open myself up to you. I know I don't have to be. But in inviting God to open you up and examine and allow him to expose what needs to be exposed, that's a good thing. But it's scary. It hurts. God is good. He loves us. He has the best intentions for us. But there is one thing that will prevent him from being able to accomplish that work. And that's an unrepentant heart. A heart that's unwilling to yield and simply surrender. Or act in obedience to what he, by his Spirit, is making known to you.